extract.
I can't recall any time in the annals of military history when this number of forces have moved over this distance to put themselves in a position to be able to attack. That was not our intention. We had never said it was our intention. Our intention was purely to eject the Iraqis out of Kuwait and destroy the military power that had come in here. If it had been our intention to take Iraq, if it had been our intention to destroy the country, if it had been our intention to overrun the country, we could have done it unopposed.
That was the voice of General Schwarzkopf, and a nation mourning one of the more popular generals in a different era, if you will. He commanded coalition forces, we know, during the Gulf War. He died. He was 78 years old. Ex-President George H.W. Bush said the general was one of the greatest military leaders of his generation. And that's where we start. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, America Tonight, a special holiday edition. And it's interesting. It's been a tough Christmas, actually, for deaths of some pretty famous people in Hollywood and now Schwarzkopf. If you remember, after Iraq invaded Kuwait in 1990, Schwarzkopf was the guy, he was the man, he directed the buildup of about 700,000 coalition troops. And in 1991, they began a six-week air assault, I'll never forget it, of Iraqi forces that was followed by a pretty swift ground 1-2 punch campaign that pushed Saddam Hussein's forces completely out of Kuwait. So a lot of people reacting to General Schwarzkopf's death. Because, again, he was considered to be one of the best military leaders of our time. Even the president weighing in, President Obama saying Schwarzkopf stood tall for his country and that our prayers are with the family who know that his legacy endures in a nation that is more secure because of his patriotic service. That was a quote from the president. His reputation was plain-spoken commander when he gave any kind of media briefings during Operation Desert Storm. Very, very popular. Popular with the media, I think, because he was that kind of guy, just shot straight, if you will, for lack of a better way to describe it. I met him once, and we had a really interesting conversation, actually, about leadership. And he talked about some of the speeches that he was giving. He was telling me about that and how much he was enjoying taking what he learned in strategy, battlefield strategy, and taking that to other mediums and how people were really, really embracing that. So that's one element of what we're talking about on America Tonight. It is, as I said, the year-end edition. That means we take a look back at some of the interesting people and places and whatnot that we had a chance to run into, if you will, during 2012 heading into 2013. So this hour, we're going to take you to a couple of different places, including the Republican convention in Tampa, Florida. The feeling in Tampa in August was that Mitt Romney was going to run over Barack Obama. We all know that didn't happen. Barack Obama on the cover of Time magazine as the person of the year again in 2008. He was the person of the year. He wins two terms, so it's a much different feeling after that Republican convention. But we're going to wind the clock back and take you back to one of the interviews we did there with Andrew Langer, talking about the business angles of what was going to happen heading into the fall and into 2013, and what would happen with the Affordable Health Care Plan should the president stay in place. And as I said, as we know, he trounced Mitt Romney, but that was not the feeling among the Republicans anyway at the convention. And we're also going to talk about NFL referees heading into the season. You know, we do that nail the score thing. It was thought that we wouldn't see football, that in fact, football would be non-existent because of the referees. So we have these replacement referees, and we'd be stuck with terrible football because the officiating would be so poor. It wouldn't be a spectator sport anymore where you could grumble because everybody would grumble. So you couldn't really argue about the call. So that's one of the many things that we'll talk about. And throughout this entire show, that's where we're going to take you. We're going to take you on all kinds of journeys back, including my trip to Ireland, a few of the interesting people that we met there, some great storytellers, and others along the way. You know, Ireland was about the culture, the people, and how that all played a part of that special trip where I had a chance to go to Belfast and see some of the barriers they were breaking between the Catholics and the Protestants, and also what it was like to be in Dublin and spend some time there and outside of the cities as well. Some of you are still dealing with weather. I checked earlier today, and I was looking at what the snowfall totals were, and I know a lot of snowblowers were working overtime in the Midwest. In some places, they're talking about a foot of snow, and other places, just a light dusting. And there were certainly delays in the last handful of days right before Christmas. There were people that were stuck in Newark, New Jersey, and people that were stuck in Chicago and St. Louis. And it wasn't all because of snow. Some of it also had to do with horrific rains and tornadoes. But weather has definitely played a part in the holidays for a lot of people who found themselves stuck, maybe even for a day or two. Newtown, Connecticut, so much is happening there. I mentioned this on a previous show. The people in Newtown are saying, you know, we appreciate the outpouring. It's amazing, fellow Americans, what they're doing, trying to send money, trying to send food, trying to send anything they can to soothe the feelings of the people in that town, kind of embrace them. But they're saying enough is enough and we can't take the gifts anymore. They're saying we're handing them out, we're giving them away to other organizations. So just keep them. We appreciate the sentiment, but we don't want any more gifts, please, because we don't have any place to put all this stuff. But emphasizing over and over and over again how much it meant to the people there. But, you know, this just happened on December 14th, so now they're talking about studying the DNA of Adam Lanza. He was the gunman that killed the kids and, of course, the adults in that horrific tragedy. And it's official. They're going to do that. They were asked to join some scientists were asked to be part of this, to join the investigation by the state medical examiner's office to look into the DNA and look for some maybe specific genetic markers, if they could find something. Don't know what they're going to find. They're going to do an analysis of the DNA. It's not going to happen for at least a couple of weeks, probably not till the end of January, if in fact they find anything. Looking for some kind of a genetic clue for what motivated Adam Lanza, who fatally shot the 26 people, including the 20 kids, at Sandy Hook Elementary back on the 14th of December. And remember, he also killed his mother before the school massacre, and then ended up shooting himself, taking his own life with a gunshot to the head. And there is no, this is fascinating because this is one of the things we talked about, there is no clear-cut sort of genes that are identified with the types of illnesses, mental illnesses that might cause that sort of behavior. But I think it's excellent that they're looking into this and that genetic experts are going to see if they can find something to try to come up with some kind of conclusions or some hints as to what may have happened. So buckle up, sit back, and enjoy. We're going to kick the can down the highway here on America Tonight. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment permanent basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Jim Newcomer for Midas Resources, December 26, 2012. Gold opened this morning at $16.58.60. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $16.99.93, $8.49.97 for a half ounce, or $4.24.98 for a quarter ounce. That's $16.99.93, $8.49.97, and $4.24.98.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase, and there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
Attention, this is an announcement for our listeners who drive gasoline vehicles. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that there is now an automotive accessory that exceeds its own fuel-saving claims. Consumer Protection has confirmed that most gasoline vehicles will get 22% more miles per gallon with an accessory called Platinum 22. To find out if Platinum 22 will give your vehicle 22% more miles per gallon, you should call 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me correctly, 1-800-LESS-GAS. You heard me. Federal Consumer Protection has confirmed that the Platinum 22 accessory will deliver 22% more miles per gallon to most gasoline vehicles. You should pick up the phone and call 1-800-LESS-GAS to find out if it will help your vehicle. That's 1-800-LESS-GAS. 1-800-LESS-GAS. 22% more miles per gallon. 1-800-LESS-GAS.
One, two, three, four.
About the Constitution and the government usurping its authority and trampling on rights, different rights that we've seen suddenly eroding. Well, last week, the Bay Area family, known for their oysters, the Drake's Bay Oyster Company, it's right there along Point Reyes National Seashore. I used to live in Cali, and boy, I'll tell you what, nothing better. So here's the thing. What happens when you get this news from the Secretary of the Interior, Ken Salazar, and he tells you that you can no longer stay on National Park Service land, and you got to shut down your business. Wow. You got to shut down your business. So where did this come from all of a sudden from afar, and what rights does the family have to come back? Because basically what it seems to be to me is, Salazar and others who would have been behind this didn't comply with national environmental laws, and they violated the constitutional rights of this family, and they are putting their hands in the cookie jar. They're illegally taking millions of dollars of his property. So joining us now is the man that we're talking about, Kevin Lunny. Kevin, I'll tell you what, this had to be just disheartening, first of all, to receive the news. What was that like? I mean, it had to have blindsided you.
Oh, it was actually horrible. We didn't expect it at all. We had gone through torture with the National Environmental Policy Act through an EIS that took years and millions of taxpayer dollars. And it was actually tragic because it was the NEPA document was so bad that it was criticized by the National Academy of Sciences. It was essentially unusable. And so Secretary Salazar went ahead and made his decision anyway without even the legal public comment period for the EIS, and just said he made it, you know, based on law and policy. Well, those law and policies, according to our attorneys, were not followed.
And so one of the things that as you're pursuing this, the one of the things that you've clearly said, and it's been reported, I might have actually read it in the Times the other day or something, but you're not denying that, first of all, that your lease expired, but that the government didn't follow, as we're talking about here, the proper procedures in making the decision, and especially, as you mentioned, in the periods after the environmental impact report. Were you stunned that that's what, you know, that's what happened, that there wasn't that period to do the review, et cetera, and for the comments?
That was just part of it. You know, we were at the end of a 40-year agreement, but it's explicitly renewable. And the Point Reyes National Seashore is filled with ranches. It's all working landscapes. It's a mm-hmm. seashore, not a national park. Mm-hmm. So this was agreements that Congress made many years ago to keep the working landscapes, but recently, only a few years ago, the Park Service has decided, well, maybe they want to start getting rid of us. So they made some outrageous claims of catastrophic environmental harm. They were all misrepresented, and those aren't my words. That's the words of the Interior's Inspector General. That's the words of the National Academy of Sciences. That's the words of the Interior Solicitor's Office. That completely reprimanded the Park Service officials. So each one of those people that were reprimanded got promotions. That false science made it into this NEPA document, which we were really confident that if it went through the proper public review, it would get corrected so that Secretary Salazar could exercise his authority to renew. Instead, one day before our permit expired,
mm-hmm.
He called our farm, but the secretary himself called me and said, Kevin, I'm instructing the Park Service to allow your permit to expire. And so now, and you have 90 days to get out. And the problem is it's a farm. It's not a store where you sell the stuff off your shelves. We have 8 or 10 million juvenile oysters in the bay. So we're going to lose all that property. Millions of dollars worth of oysters have to be disposed of, thrown away. 30 people lose their jobs and their homes, many of them their homes. It's going to destroy a coastal community and a coastal economy because we have 50,000 visitors a year that really drive the local economy, the restaurants and the bed and breakfasts and the shops. So our community of Marin County is in complete outrage because the Interior Department just paid no attention to what the people really want.
Yeah. And so as you say, the 90 days you filed the lawsuit, is the hope that you can get this as fast as you can to sort of stave this off and ride through the 90 days? What do the lawyers say about that?
Well, what we're going to do before this is all, we're farmers. This whole legal stuff is new to us. But we're going to do ask for an injunction to hold off the Park Service from throwing us out in 90 days. If we can, until the court case is completed.
Yeah. What's obviously, you were talking about this, the impact on the area, the visitors, 50,000 a year right there, Marin County, beautiful for people who haven't been there. It's, as I said, it's one of the most beautiful places, that entire area that I've been to, and people are very familiar with your company. And as you mentioned, the people that you employ, they have to be obviously very concerned, might lose houses. Are you getting a lot of feedback from others, though, in your area who are saying, hey, we want to support you? Can we sign a petition? Can we call somebody? Are you finding that you're getting a lot of that?
There's huge support. There's outrage and a lot of support coming forward, which we really, that's what's keeping us going because it's so devastating. And it's devastating to the state. The state reserved the rights to continue to issue shellfish leases when they transferred the land to the seashore. And so this is actually usurping states' rights, too, because we produce almost 40% of the oysters grown in California. We operate the last oyster cannery in the state. So this is really going to devastate the sustainable seafood system of our state, too.
Yeah. How about tapping on some of those politicians? Have you gotten to that point where you've called up, Dianne Feinstein or somebody else and told them about it? Because obviously the economic impacts of that, I think they'd be interested in it.
Well, actually, quite honestly, Dianne Feinstein's paid close attention to this for years. She has been extremely frustrated with the misrepresentations and dishonesty by the Park Service. She said so. She has sent multiple letters to Secretary Salazar, and frankly, the secretary seemed to not respond.
Wow, it just makes you shake your head, and as you said, 40% of the oysters, that is absolutely staggering. What about the other businesses? Obviously, there have to be other businesses that are in the same boat, correct?
Well, no, they actually singled us out. The ranchers around us are all, of course, concerned. The Interior Department says, oh, we love the ranchers, and they're going to stay. Mm. But the ranchers have seen this as kind of the first domino. I agree with that. I do not. From the disingenuous things that have been said and done by the National Park Service does not give us any, real faith that those words are real. The other oyster farms in the region, we're the only one in the National Seashore. There are some more in a neighboring bay, Tamales Bay.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned because we supply them with a lot of their oysters to keep their markets going, and because we're the larger supplier, and so they're going to be hurt badly, too.
Yeah. Kevin, tell us before we let you fly, and good luck with the lawsuit, but tell us a little bit about Drake's Bay Oyster Company. How long had you been around?
Well, this has been around probably nearly 100 years.
Ooh.
It's been permitted by the California Department of Fish and Game since 1934, and it has the best water quality of any bay or estuary in the state for shellfish aquaculture. It's perfect. The National Park Service came in and purchased it in the 1960s and 70s and made an agreement that it would stay as a pre-existing use, part of the cultural landscapes. And today we've just seen them reverse that agreement.
Yeah. And the you filed the lawsuit this week. So, as you said, you're farmers. You don't know much about the legal stuff, but you're learning. And how do the lawyers feel? Pretty confident that this is a good fight?
They do. Actually, they're pretty amazed by the activities and the conduct of these federal officials. They're confident that these are pretty clear violations, and but it's still very scary.
Yeah, I understand. Kevin, we wish you the best. Thanks so much for coming on America Tonight. We'll talk to you again down the road, and good luck with the lawsuit.
Thank you so much.
You've come to expect winter specials from Herbal Healer Academy, and we're not going to let you down. Battle through cold and flu season with powerful, natural, and safe flu fighters. Antivirals like olive leaf extract capsules and elderberry power. Vitamin D3, 180 caps, only $9. Beta-glucans and an incredible immune system booster. Our own 4-herb tea capsules and Respa 8, all specially priced during the winter sale at herbalhealer.com. Also, exclusive homeopathic detoxes for lungs, kidneys, liver, whole body, and lymph are on sale. Herbal Healer Academy offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and save big now when you hit the winter specials at herbalhealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time since 1988. Celebrating 25 years in service to the natural healthcare industry.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
What do you do when your propane runs out and you don't have a large amount of wood for cooking? That's when you need a Grover Rocket Stove from StockStorage.com. The Grover Rocket Stove starts easily with any combustible material, like junk mail, small twigs, leaves, weeds, or dry sagebrush. Then just add a small amount of kindling wood, and you'll be cooking entire meals in minutes. Grover Rocket Stoves are made right here in the USA and are built to last a lifetime using heavy-duty, thick-gauge steel and are painted with high-temp paint to withstand heat. Go to StockStorage.com and see three great Grover Rocket Stoves, stainless steel, heavy-duty, or our original Grover Rocket Stove for only $135 and get free shipping to the lower 48. For phone orders, call 801-361-6984 or go to StockStorage.com. That's 801-361-6984 or StockStorage.com. The original Grover Rocket Stove minimal wood use cooking stoves, available exclusively from StockStorage.com.
We all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
You land in Buenos Aires, then are shuttled to Santa Rosa, where a nicely furnished cabin with all amenities, Wi-Fi, executive food and wine, and laundry service awaits. After a good night's sleep, your adventure begins. You're on a golden stag safari for big game. But it's not Africa, it's Argentina. One-on-one guided hunts for water buffalo, cougar, bighorn rams, wild boar, and the biggest stag deer in South America. All gold medal quality. All the action you can handle. Land Rovers, top rental guns with scopes, all food, beverages, hunting guides, ground transportation included, and more, all more affordable than you can imagine. The adventure of a lifetime starts at GoldenStagSafaris.com, the big game hunting ranch, GoldenStagSafaris.com.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
With heavy hearts over what happened in Newtown, Connecticut, the 20 children, the funerals are going on now, and the six adults that were killed at that Connecticut elementary school, and the questions of why and many other aspects of this we've been talking about here on America Tonight. One of my favorite all-time guests, such a lovely lady, Judith Barr, psychologist, and just somebody who has talked about reaching out and trying to embrace this problem to help people heal. And she's been one of the, I think, one of the leading voices out there getting people to acknowledge that, hey, as a nation, we've got to start looking at things, looking at people and whatnot. And she's got a terrific website, powerabusedpowerhealed.com. And she's got a button on it that you can click on, Judith's Polypsych bar. She's got that there.
Blog, rather.
And if you hit that, you'll get some of her thoughts on what's happened at the Connecticut school and reactions to it and whatnot. Judith, thanks at a very difficult time for coming on ATN. We appreciate it.
You're welcome, Kate. Thank you so much for asking me.
And I knew that you lived close to Newtown, but I didn't realize how close. Tell the listeners what it's been like for you, because how far away are you?
I'm 15 minutes away.
And you see the people from all over Connecticut that are just going to the town and trying to reach out to the people and do what, whatever they can. Have you noticed that in your neighbors and friends and the people, how they're reacting to what happened just a stone's throw away?
Well, it feels pretty heavy around here, and I've spent most of my time working with people and talking with people in and from my office and writing and, you know, making calls to offer to help people and to offer to help first responders particularly, because I think they probably have a really hard time getting the kind of help they need to really feel what it was like for them. And helping people that I work with that live in Newtown and people that I work with, because I can't imagine that anybody on earth really has not been affected by this.
Yeah. I mean, just it's just absolutely, as I said, heartbreaking. It's unspeakable, shocking. You know, we can come up with all kinds of adjectives for this. But you know this in your profession. How difficult anyway is it to get over the loss of a child, let alone a whole town dealing with the 20 children and the six adults? It's a long process, isn't it?
So, yes, it is heartbreaking. And to me, I think we have a lot to learn to go through the process of grief. I think our society, I don't know about others, but I think our society hurries people along and tries to get them to take some of the grief energy and go do something else with it. And I am urging everybody I can. I'm writing about it. I'm saying, please take the time you need to grieve. Please know that all sorts of feelings are included in the cauldron of grief. It's not just sadness. It's hurt and fear and anger and confusion and helplessness and hopelessness and that's after you get through the shock, which I think, you know, people are feeling some things, but I think the shock hasn't worn off yet. And I think in our society, people have some idea of that it should be a relatively short thing, the grieving time, but there's no standard time, Kate. Everybody finds their own rhythm and pace for grieving in their own way. And I think one of the things that really complicates it and makes it impossible to have a standard timing is that any time we're in grief, it stirs up all the loss and grief from our past that we haven't yet finished with or maybe even haven't yet grieved at all. So, like, for example, with this experience, this tragedy in Newtown, I've already talked to people. I know it's bringing up the feelings people had at 9/11. And I know 9/11 is bringing up feelings people had younger in their lives. I've already been working with people in my practice on the lack of safety in their childhood lives that this is bringing up. So all of that has to be grieved. And I tell people, don't let anybody interrupt your process. Don't let a therapist interrupt it. Don't let a partner. Don't let a teacher. Don't let a media person. Don't let a spiritual leader. Don't let anybody interfere with the time and the way you need to safely grieve.
Wow, very, very powerful and interesting that so close to New York City that naturally, I didn't even think of that connection, the safety issue and what happened on 9/11. For children, for children who are in schools now are asking a lot of questions. I've seen this with my nieces and nephews. What can we tell the children to comfort them? That because they know what happened, and they're talking about it, even if they're not talking about it in the classrooms, they are outside of the classrooms. What do you tell a child, Judith, about this?
Kate, there's a part of me that wants to answer you directly, and there's a part of me that wants to say some other things first, because I would talk very differently to a child than most people would. So are you all right with my going around?
I am.
To come back to you?
I am, yes.
Okay. So these are not the things I would, all the things I would say to the child. These are the things I'm saying to you and I'm saying to the other grown-ups. We don't want to know, we ourselves mostly don't want to know about the roots of violence in our world. We don't want to know that there is a current of violence in each of us. We mostly don't want to know that each of us has our breaking point. We mostly don't want to know that each of us contributes to the violence, even if we aren't aware of it, even if we want to deny it, even if we don't seem to be acting out on it. If somebody fantasizes violence, if somebody watches violent movies or TV programs, if somebody has an experience with a sport like football or boxing, and they get there, I'm going to use this word, it may be irritating, they get their fix of violence without having to act it out, that is contributing to the violence in our world. Because they're supporting the violent sports, they're supporting the violent movies, they're supporting the violent TV shows. And it is so important that each of us looks inside and finds out, well, wants to know, looks in the mirror and says, where is the violence in me? How do I contribute to the violence in our world? And it comes, Kate, because most of us have not had the help from our parents who did not have the help from their parents to feel our feelings, to build our capacity to feel our feelings, to learn what to do with them safely, so that then we don't act out on violent feelings. We know what to do with them. We know how to follow the ones that are from childhood for healing and what to do with ones in the here and now that we need to find a way to deal with. Are you with me?
I'm with you, absolutely. And
so, I'm sorry, go on.
And that's, it's interesting in what you're saying. It's the denial, people denying that they don't have that, that we need to, as you say, look inside of ourselves. And I think that's tough for a lot of people.
It is. And as I've been watching TV, I felt like I wanted to say to people that have talked, just don't point your finger at this perpetrator or that perpetrator. Look inside. Don't call these people evil. Look inside yourself, because each one of us that takes care of that inside ourselves will remove some of the energy and the activity from the violence in our world.
Mm.
So if we come back to the children, if I had a child who was asking me, what happened, Mommy? Why did that man kill all those people? I might say, well, do you remember when you were, I'll just use a little boy this time, but I might use to say the same thing to a little girl. Remember when you were a little boy and you got really angry at me and you tried to bite me? And I said, I see you're angry at me, but don't bite me. Use your words. And remember when you couldn't use your words because you couldn't find your words? I said, tell me I'm mad, Mommy. And when you couldn't do that, sometimes I would say, okay, if you need to bite, here's a towel. You can bite on it. And while you bite on the towel, I will say, you're mad at Mommy. And I would say, remember how I taught you what to do with your anger? Nobody taught this man what to do with his anger.
Mm. Yeah, so much we just don't know, but so much we learned from you, Judith. Thank you. Judith Barr, check it out, PowerViews, PowerHeals.com. Click on the button, Judith's Polypsych blog. She's written extensively about this. And Judith, tough times. Thanks for coming on America tonight.
Thank you so much, Kate.
Would it save you time to get the best quality water filters and the best quality storable foods from one company? You bet it would, and now you can at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Big Berkey water filter products and great-tasting, long-lasting, storable, wise foods are both now available on one website, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Wise foods, ready-to-eat meals are packed in airtight nitrogen pouches and come with a 25-year shelf life. Big Berkey water filters are powerful enough to purify treated, untreated, or even stagnant pond water. Combine Berkey water filters with Wise foods for an unbeatable preparedness combination. Get free shipping on every order over $50. And GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com or call 877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Or go to BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com.
Are you still a traditional smoker? Now experience a new lifestyle and try vaping with e-cigarettes by LeSig. Imagine no ashes, stains, nasty smell, or coughing and hacking. With LeSig e-cigarettes' revolutionary microelectronic technology, rechargeable battery, and unique replaceable cartridge, you'll get all the benefits and satisfaction of smoking without the hazards. Choose your taste from a wide variety of our new American-made Vaporeon e-liquids at LeSig.com. And LeSig smokes the competition by serving thousands of worldwide customers with real people customer service, fast, free, same-day shipping, and a 30-day warranty and satisfaction guarantee. So are you ready for a new vaping lifestyle? Then call 870-518-4307. That's 870-518-4307. Or visit LeSig.com, spelled LeCig.com. LeSig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
U.S., one in every 50 homes will have a break-in this year. Burglars call it smash and grab. Police call it robbery. We call it avoidable. We are Fake TV, a simple electronic device that can fool even professional burglars. Fake TV easily plugs into any outlet and simulates the changing colors of a television. To a burglar, it looks like someone must be home watching TV, so they'll likely move on to an easier target. At only $34.95, Fake TV costs less than a month of most alarm monitoring plans and makes a great Christmas gift, or it's perfect if you're traveling over the holidays. Order your Fake TV by calling 877-5-FAKE-TV or go to FakeTV.com. That's 877-532-5388 or FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
What's starting to happen in the East Coast, especially in New Jersey and in New York. We go to my cousin Jen Loren. She's a nurse at Children's Hospital in Philadelphia. Luckily, she's not on duty now. However, some of the other nurses had to really pack up like Nanook of the North for fear of not being able to go home. I'm certain of that. I was talking to Jen earlier in the day, and she mentioned that. Jen, what is the nursing staff doing there? Because, of course, you've got sick kids, and you got to be concerned about that. So did literally people kind of move into the hospital, or what do they do?
Yeah, well, I left this morning. I had a shift last night until 7 a.m. Some people came in Saturday or Sunday evening, anticipating trouble getting there on Monday morning. So they come in later and they sleep there overnight. So they're there for the morning shift. And then a lot of nurses that were leaving on Monday morning that had to come back in for their shift on Monday night, they slept at the hospital as well. So they don't have to leave. And a lot of people now that just got off are also staying there. So if you don't have to come back, most people will try to get themselves home. But if you're back in for another shift, you just sleep at the hospital and stay down for a couple days.
Yeah. Now you have three children and they're, I would imagine, school's been canceled. We're saying 2 million plus. Are they out of school for, are the girls out of school for 2 days, 3 days, or what is it?
Yeah, they, it came yesterday. They sent out a notice that they were canceled for at least 2 days and then they would see how the rest of the week was going to go. They've already, in my town, postponed trick or treating until Friday. So I guess they're anticipating a lot of downed trees or power lines, and they don't want the kids out there.
Yeah. The Morristown, New Jersey, by the way, is where Jen lives. And Morristown is, what would you say, 50 minutes or an hour from Atlantic City?
Probably. I think it takes us about an hour and 10 minutes to get down there.
Yeah, and people are seeing this. You know, people are listening to America Tonight across the country, and they're, what they're seeing on the tube is a lot of Atlantic City and reporters being covered, you know, above their waist in water when they're on the main street and it's on lockdown there in Atlantic City and they cleared out the casinos. So what's it like in Morristown? Are there high winds? Is there a lot of rain? What's happening?
The rain is not so bad. It's not like soaking rain where, you know, everything is getting flooded here. It's a lot of high winds. And Morristown is an old town, and we have really old big trees. My whole backyard is full of trees. And it's not, they originally reported that it was going to be sustained high winds. It doesn't seem like that, but there are, like, large gusts of wind, and they're coming pretty frequently. And you just look out in the backyard, and you see these trees that are three times the size of the house are just shaking back and forth, making their way to the house and back. So it's a little scary with all these big trees around here. There was an emergency vehicle out on my street a little further down. I think there was a tree down there, but so far I am surprised we have not lost power yet. I'm not complaining, but it seems a lot of people around the region have lost power, but we haven't yet.
Yeah, and so to get ready for this, I could imagine only that you had a long honey-do list for my cousin Kevin. Did you send him out getting boards and flashlights and all that kind of stuff?
Yeah, he had all the flashlights. We didn't board anything up. His main job yesterday was to dismantle the trampoline. He took down the enclosure because, you know, you see videos of trampolines flying around. And there's actually a video or a picture on Facebook. Now, it's made it all around the region. It's been on the news where there is a trampoline literally sitting on top of power lines.
Wow.
But he, you know, he took down the trampoline and put some topsoil down to hold down the base and, you know, brought everything in. And, you know, around here, the stores, it's been a little crazy. Like, there was not one flashlight at Home Depot. And, you know, everybody's out of water and milk and muffins.
And muffins. How about what's in the neighborhood? Because I can imagine, so the streets, a lot of the streets are closed off and work has been shut down and bridges and that kind of stuff. In New York, certainly, were shut down. So what are these guys doing with all this time on their hands? I heard they were having a hurricane party. Is that right?
Yeah, a little earlier when it was still lighter out, Kevin and a couple of the guys from the neighborhood were in another neighbor's garage. Drinking beer, keeping an eye on the trees for the rest of us ladies. So they were out there keeping it safe, you know, doing the tough job.
There you go. Well, it's good that you're able to relax and be there together, because who knows what happens in the next day or two as the storm even gathers more strength. Jen, be safe, and thanks for coming on ATM with us.
All right. Thanks, Kate.
All right, and of course, Hurricane Sandy was one of the biggest stories of 2012. The tail end of the year, the devastation was not what was predicted, what was forecasted, if you will. You know, it was really the wide swath that Sandy cut when that was not predicted. If you looked at any of the radar, even though there was a great distance between New York, New Jersey, and some of the areas that obviously were going to get hit with this thing, and forecasters in the tri-state area knew that the hurricane conditions were coming. I don't think that they quite expected the punch that Sandy actually landed. They didn't think of the I guess the flooding, the damage would be so overwhelming. It's really closer to $80 billion. Still in flux is how much the government is ultimately going to cough up for Sandy. And then hundreds of people, thousands of people who ended up without power, who were digging out wet, soggy couches and lamps and beds and everything that you can think of in between that you would have in a home. That's pretty much what you saw coming out of New York City, especially because they were hit just as hard as Staten Island and just as hard as some of the northern New Jersey areas and Atlantic City, 40 minutes from where I grew up. They watched as a wall of water ended up hitting that city, and boats were in the living rooms of some people, and parts of boardwalks were washed away. Mother Nature, I say this all the time, always ends up on the show at least once or twice a week, whether we're talking about mudslides or fires or hurricanes or tornadoes. And there were other horrible weather patterns and predicted things that were supposed to happen in certain areas that didn't because the weather switched, and then ultimately, you know, the hurricane took a different course, and thank goodness there were some near misses. But Sandy was definitely not a near miss. As I said, Sandy packed the biggest punch of all of any of the storms that we saw in 2012, and still so many people are feeling the effects, rebuilding houses or moving from areas because they don't want to rebuild, and frankly couldn't get an inspector to approve plans for rebuilding in the same area. In Staten Island, they had huge problems with this, and they're still dealing with insurance and waiting for checks and all of that. And here that was in the fall, and something that was, I think, unexpected when it comes to what happened in neighborhoods. And you heard my cousin there talking about the effect of what was initially the impact of Sandy, and they had a family that stayed with them because they didn't have power for a week. That was the result of Sandy, but other people had it so much worse. Also, this past hour, we talked with Judith Barr about Newtown, Connecticut. She's just 15 minutes away, and she's working with many of the first responders, some of the same people who were hit pretty hardly by 9/11, as they were first responders there too. And then Kevin Lunny, we started off with the Oyster Bay fight. His family supplying 40% of the oysters in that little alcove just outside of San Francisco, and now the federal government taking the land back, and the big fight that has ensued. Even Senator Feinstein is involved in this one, as she's really pushing for the Oyster Bay folks, realizing that if they go under, there's no way. They will lose thousands and thousands of oysters, and 30 people plus will lose their jobs as well. Any thoughts on the show or resolutions for 2013? Send them to me at americatonight.net.
Storms in the east, but we are still in the eye of the perfect storm. The most devastating economic condition since the Great Depression, America's worst drought in agricultural history, and now the economic results of the presidential election. This perfect storm is a huge threat to everyone's food supply. I just doubled down and got even more supplies from eFoods Direct, and I recommend you do the same. It's time to get your own supply from eFoods Direct. I know I won't be standing in a bread line trading my freedom for food. I'm taking control of my future. And you're nuts if you don't do the same. Go to eFoodsDirect.com/Alex to find the specials. And you can start with a holiday gift pack that's normally $80, now under $50. Remember, I can warn you, but I can't feed you. Call 800-409-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex. Would you rather prepare 6 months too early or 1 day too late? or 09-5633 or eFoodsDirect.com/Alex.